The seven-piece Scottish band Belle & Sebastian are with us on the Cafe today. Leader and main songwriter Stuart Murdoch started the band at university in 1995 in Scotland as a music business project. And with the release of their first two albums in 1996, things took off from there. A bit reclusive at first, the band has opened up more as their music has. Their new album, The Life Pursuit, was produced by Tony Hoffer, who has worked with Beck. 2003's Dear Catastrophe Waitress was helmed by Trevor Horn, the producer behind Yes and Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Today, the band joins us in the studio, and we'll have a chance to talk with Stuart and with guitarist Stevie Jackson. As we start, Stuart Murdoch introduces the new song, Funny Little Frog.
This is a song about stalking a ghost.
Funny Little Frog, which is I guess the first single off of The Life Pursuit from Belle & Sebastian. It's really important for a number of things. In fact, the fact that it's the first time the throat has been two syllables anywhere, and I love that.
Oh, thank you very much. It never occurred to me that the poor songwriter will do anything for a rhyme.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm also relieved to find out that it's a song about a ghost. I thought it was completely imaginary to begin with. Not that a ghost. Yeah,
well, of course, with ghosts, you're on solid ground.
Exactly. Belle & Sebastian are with us today. The whole concept of singles is something that's always been more important, it seems, in the UK than here. And last year, or I guess it was last year, Barman came out, the collection of singles and EPs, gathering together everything that you did initially. You had 1 year where you had, I think, three separate single releases. Was that very calculated? Is that important in the whole scene in the UK?
I think it was important to us. At that point, we had quickly recorded two LP records. And so we decided almost to have a little bit of fun, get the next collection of songs together and decide which songs were going to be A-sides, and then sort of form EPs around that. So it was just so that we didn't get too bored.
There was a whole perception at the beginning of the band that you were carving out your own mystery and not, you know, doing any interviews, and the releases came out slowly, etc. Was that making of the band, or was that people's perception of what was going on?
Well, of course, it's people's perception. Nothing in Bell and Sebastian has been calculated. Down to, you know, what we're having for lunch, and nobody knows what's going to happen. That it's simply just the way things happened. We gathered together rather quickly and felt it was only a few years in that we became comfortable enough players to be confident to talk about it, really, or at least that's my perception.
How are you with writing, though, Stuart? Are you pretty disciplined about that? Because God knows you seem to be prolific.
To their eternal credit, the group as a collective are the things that really provide sort of discipline and backbone. I can't choose which member of the band's actually holding a whip at one point, but there's usually somebody sort of keeps you in line, and we're quite organized when we come to sort of getting an LP record together these days.
Bell and Sebastian have joined us, and I'll make you choose what's next.
Well, we're going to do a song called Meat and Potatoes, which was kind of good timing because it was on the first single, Funny Little Frog. It was the second track, and we recorded this in the same bunch of songs with Tony Hoffer in Los Angeles for the LP record.
of bumps and dreams. She needs some carousal, more arousal, a bit of pain. Invite the neighbor,
invite the neighbor,
or total stranger. Give yourself a leg of honey. Wear the queen mask, put on the French mask. It's full of handy holes, and if we're gonna use them all, we're gonna need more than meat and potatoes. She may draw the line at dolls and freaks.
Bell and Sebastian are playing live for us today on the World Cafe. You need to help me on this because I've been reading up a little bit, and something here in the U.S. I don't think we know so much about is this whole concept of lad culture in England, and then the whole concept of kind of taking back the word twee that you guys seem to be part of. Is this for real, or is this somebody's invention?
Again, this must be perception. There's no point we try to take back the word. In fact, this word shall not be mentioned.
Okay.
Because the more that you mention this word, the more that it gets associated with the group.
Well, that's interesting. How did that come about? Do you have any concept of?
Well, I guess that when the band first came out, we were attempting to make prettier music than what was going on at the time, and. I still stand up for that. There's nothing, I don't regret anything about that time. The band will continue to make pretty music and suit ourselves, really. But perceptions do change. You find that maybe 7 years into the band, the sort of press and people came around to this kind of sound, and then suddenly there were other bands sounding like it. And then suddenly all these bands were selling 10 times as many records as us. So that was the irony.
Indeed. And this album, you mentioned working with Tony Hoffer, and you worked with Trevor Horn on the Dear Catastrophe Waitress before this. And there does seem to be a total progression of openness and poppiness and a harder sound to what you do. And it just seems to have come naturally. Lyrically, everything seems to be just where it's always been. It's just... is there a perception of, on your part, that has changed over the years? Was that something you went out and got a hold of producers to help with, or maybe someone? I'm putting this all on Stuart. Maybe someone else.
Yeah, well, perhaps Stevie could talk us through that one.
Well, producer definitely helps. We've really felt the difference the last couple of LPs. Basically, just having a boss, someone that keeps you in line, and someone that keeps the work rolling along at a disciplined rate, and also just preparation. We're a lot more prepared when we go into the studio than we used to.
Hmm.
And I think also just the last 5 years, playing live a lot more, and playing bigger halls, you have to learn how to project. Whereas the earlier, when we first started, the music was more about drawing people in, I guess. But, after... That's okay for a couple of hundred people, but when you're playing to 2,000 people, it's more difficult. You have to project a bit more. And I think we've learned to do that, and we can draw upon that making records now.
Bell and Sebastian are our guests. You were talking about doing Seymour Stein, that goes back to Arab Strap. And what was the circumstances of this? It sounds like you wrote it for him to listen to on the plane or something.
Well, this is a song Stevie wrote.
So. Ah.
I can't even remember. I think it was... It's just a song about perception, I guess, or even or just about your dreams, or you know what's important in life. I think you know, for years, actually, you know, wanting to be successful or being in a group or be signed up, but I don't know. I think when it actually happened, I think I was I had other things in my mind, like my girlfriend taking off
right
to the north of Scotland, and there was stuff going on, and it just seemed to tie in with that period. Seymour Stein's actually more of a context to another story, if you know what I mean. I guess he was over in he came over to see us, and I couldn't go because I was washing dishes in the restaurant. So I just had these things on my mind, and it just came out.
We should give a little bit of context for people who don't know that Seymour Stein is he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame now.
Yeah,
but he's an incredibly influential record company head and
Sire Records.
Exactly.
He discovered Madonna, the Ramones,
the Undertones.
we admire him.
absolutely.
It's so yeah. I mean, I've never actually talked about this song before, but I just naturally assumed, and Seymour assumed it. It's not actually in no way is it a dig. It's quite.
Oh no, I didn't.
It's quite an affectionate song.
Seymour Stein.
Not good.
Seymour Stein. When was the last time you think you played that, Steve?
Quite a few years ago.
Well, that's great. We're hearing some things that Bill and Sebastian haven't done in a while. We're getting a live session today. And what would you like to finish up with?
Well, maybe we should shake it up a little bit. So we'll do a track off the new record called Suki in the Graveyard.
Suki was a kid, she liked to hang out in the graveyard. She did brass rubbing, she learned she never had to press hard. She was really strong enough, she was all alone. She decided that she better check in at home. There was an awful row between her mom and dad. She said he hadn't done this, she hadn't done that. But she wanted to remain inside the family home. Had to do it in line, she had to give it a go. It didn't suit Suki, she took her things and left. Suki was a kid and she liked to hang out in the art school. She didn't enroll, but she wiped the floor with all the arse. She took a bijou block of the fertility cat. She hid inside the attic of the sculpture building. She had a son Dave, and his name was Dave. She says, name up on a pitch and I'll make you rich. He didn't believe her, but the boy revealed her. He got her a meal, he got her a bed. He walked behind the screen and she started to undress. He never got far, just sipping and playing guitar. Wasn't wet behind the ears. She had a neon body, a face to match. She didn't have money, she didn't have cash. But they were coming on and the attic gold. She had the press her nose and the refectory ball. The self-esteem pudding, she went for that. She had the pose for life with all the scholars apart. She didn't feel funny, I didn't feel bad. A feeling away, everything she had. She had the grace of a meal, sticking and stark. The shadows played tricks on the girl in the dark. Was a kid and she liked to hang out in the graveyard. Suki was a kid and she liked to hang out in the graveyard. Suki was a kid and she liked to hang out in the graveyard. Suki was a kid and she liked to hang out in the graveyard.
Suki in the graveyard. She had the grace of a Neil. I love that song. Another one from Life Pursuit. Thank you guys so much for playing live for us today. It was a real treat.
Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Bell and Sebastian, our guests, and we'll be back in a moment here on the World Cafe. Once again, thanks to Bell and Sebastian for joining us today. The Life Pursuit, the new one, is available at worldcafe.npr.org, our World Cafe CD store.